Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Amen. We're just going to pray and go right into this today because I got a word I want to get to you and I'm excited about getting it to you. Father, thank you for what's going on in Geneva, Alabama. Thank you what's going on in the kingdom of God. Let them come together. Let them promote the glory of your kingdom in this earth, God. And Lord, we love you. Let this word come alive. Everybody say alive. Alive. Let it come alive today and be a rhema, fresh word for us this morning, God. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, let's give congratulations to everyone that just completed our freedom course, went down to Daystar to the conference. Amen. I know you guys had a changed life this past Friday and Saturday, and congratulations on making it all the way through that. And that is that's one of those things, if you can make every born-again believer go through, we would make you go through it. But we offer it 2 times a year. I think the next time's coming up maybe in September or something like that. But anyway, if you've never been through it, I highly encourage you to go through it. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal, just, yes, it's just good. Amen? All right. Well, this past few weeks, we've been talking about America's in trouble, and we've talked about how when the world's in trouble, it's because our nation's in trouble. Our nation gets in trouble because our communities get in trouble. Our communities get in trouble because the church gets in trouble. And the church gets in trouble when the home and the families are in trouble. So trouble just has a way of trickling up and down. Yep. Amen. And so what do we do about it? What's the answer? So what would you say today? What's the answer for a person's marriage, their family? Again, we're going trickling up. Marriage, family, church, their city, their state, their nation, and the world. What's the answer for that? We know Jesus is the answer. Okay? Jesus, God, that's the proper answer. But the answer to that is, okay, we know that, but what do we do with him? And we want that for everybody else, but what do we want for our life? Okay? And so based on that, I got a long list this morning, so just bear with me. Now, once we get into this message, we're going to be heavy notes again this week, and I'm going to need your participation at one point in time here in this message in a little while. I'm going to point to you and need you to say something, okay? So you ready for that? You might as well say yeah, because you're going to get it anyway. Okay, so that's the answer for city, state, government, what we talked about the last 3 weeks, we know is God. But now, what's the answer to your problems? What's the answer to your sin? What is the answer? Here's my list, so just bear with me, and here we go. What's the answer to someone who has addictions? What's the answer to someone who's struggling with alcohol? What's about somebody that's a drug addict? What about somebody who enjoys gossip? What about somebody whose lifestyle is just drama, drama, drama? They love your drama, their drama, anybody else's drama they can get in the middle of. What's the answer? Jesus. And when you bounce on off of drama, you have to have a little abyss going on. What's the answer to the person who enjoys lying? Lying about stretching the truth, lying about circumstances, lying about other people to build themselves up. What's their problem? What's the answer to their problem? Jesus. All right, let's shift gears. What's the answer to the person who's dealing with lust? Jesus. Whether it be for another person or possessions or things, the answer is what? What about that? Bouncing off of lust. What about the person that's involved in pornography here today? What's the answer for your porn addiction or your porn every once in a while addiction? Jesus. Because that'll stuff will cause you to go into the next one. What's the answer for a person that's dealing with depression? And there's a lot of people dealing with that one. Jesus. It's Jesus. The person dealing with worry, doubt, and fear. Jesus. The person that's got shame and guilt. Jesus. What about the person that's rebellious? Likes to do everything their own way. Just Jesus, amen? What about the disobedient person? Jesus. I ain't doing nothing. I'm a free person. I do what I want to. What about the person, let's switch gears again. What about the person who's caught in or who is actively participating in fornicating, which means having sex before you're married with anybody? Jesus. Jesus. I got quiet in here. What about those that are married, but yet you're going outside your marriage boundaries and you're committing the act of adultery? What's the answer for adultery?
Jesus.
What's the answer for your marriage?
Jesus.
What's the answer if you've got anger issues?
Jesus.
What's the answer if you've got resentment issues?
Jesus.
Jealousy issues?
Jesus.
Unforgiveness?
Jesus.
What about if you're just lazy?
Jesus.
A lot of lazy Christians. You can look at their Bible and tell that. Laziness. What about this? Now, this is a real thing. What about people who, because of their laziness, lack of in study, lack of doing things, are just ignorant in the things of God and ignorant in the things of life sometimes? Now, ignorance doesn't mean you're stupid. It just means you're not participating in learning. Therefore, you're drawn to ignorance. What about the person who has a lack of respect and honor for others? Everybody say Jesus. What about the person who all you are about is your personal agenda according to whatever you want and however you think you want it? What's the answer for that person?
Jesus.
Touch your neighbor and say, they may be talking to you. We're about to end this list. What about the person that gets so easily offended and your feelings are so easily hurt and they absolutely control you? What's that person's answer?
Jesus.
And then final, last one. Whew, thank you, Jesus. What's the person who has an entitlement mentality that everybody owes him something and the world owes him something just because they're them? What is their answer?
Jesus.
Thank you for having the right answer. But it's not the complete answer. Ooh, now I got you. What do you mean Jesus ain't the complete answer? Jesus is everything. Yes, he is everything. And he's the answer. But you can have him and still struggle with every one of these things. And why is that so? Now, everything I absolutely on this list, and there's more, operates inside most churches. To profess people who call themselves Christians. And they know the answer is Jesus. But why do we still struggle sometimes with these areas? Because it's sin. Why do we still struggle? It's because we know the answer, but we don't apply the answer. And that's why I want to tell you today, for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be preaching on this. Go ahead and put the note up. All of life's problems can be solved by discipleship. Say it with me. Discipleship. Oh, it's a word we don't like in the church no more. It's a word you don't hear about in church too much anymore. We just want to get you to Jesus. Well, what are you going to do when you get to him? You become his disciple. And that's what we're going to cover today. Real quickly, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Most of our scriptures are today are going to be the actual words of Jesus himself, Christ himself. If you have a red letter edition Bible where the red letters represent Jesus' actual words, then this is what we're talking about today. A lot of these are going to happen today. Got a lot of scriptures, so we're going to have to go fast today. But Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all, everybody say all. What does all mean in the Greek?
All.
It means all. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Here's the big verse. We all know this. Verse 19, the great suggestion. Go therefore and make. Now stay with me here. Look at that word. Go with me and make conversions. Make converts. Make church people. Make them saved. Doesn't say that, does it? What does the Bible say to do with people? Go and make them what? 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 Okay, I'm a little hard of hearing this morning. I want to make sure you got it. It says go and make disciples. And then it says do what we just did, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
And then it goes on in verse 20. We forget verse 20. Everybody say the first word together.
Teaching
them. Teaching them involves you. Teaching them is in you having a strategy to release to them and benefit them and help them. Teaching them. Not just preaching them. Teaching them to observe the things that you like. The things that they like. The things they want to hang on to. No, it doesn't say that. It says once they get born again, you are to convert them and then make them a disciple by teaching them all things. Everybody say all things. That I, Jesus, the I there's Jesus, have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Now, last week we covered a scripture with the word disciple in it, but I want to show you this, and I did this on purpose last week. Of course, it would just fit the message last week, but it fits this. But just to save time, John chapter 8, verse 31. Again, Jesus speaking here. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, this is the words of Jesus, if you abide, which means stay and dwell, in my word, which is the word of God, you are my disciples indeed. Everybody say disciples. Indeed. I like that word indeed there. That's cool. Now, go ahead and put up the next note about the word disciple used here. This is the word disciple used here. Now, look at the last part of that writing there. It's the T-E-S. Whatever the first part, how you pronounce it? My computer did. I don't have time to go back through it. And it means this right here. To learn. This is what a disciple, Jesus is saying, you're my disciple here. You're here to learn, to understand. You're a learner. You're my pupil. But now here's the key. We talked about this a little bit last week. You are one who will accept the instructions given to you, and it makes what your instructions are, it makes that your rule of conduct. So a disciple has a rule of conduct based on Jesus Christ and his word, not on how you feel. Not what your emotions are telling you. You are taught the word of God, therefore your emotions now are overruled by the word of God. Oh, we need to learn that and become disciples. Oh, hallelujah. Now again, not your feelings and not your emotions here. And that's the definition of the word disciple there. Now go back and put up verse 19 of Matthew 28. Now what you've got to understand something while that's coming back up is this. In the last verse in John where he says, you are my disciples if you abide my word, this is while Jesus was still walking with them. This is before his death, crucifixion, and resurrection. So he's with them. Everybody say he's there. He's actually there in person with them when he called them this word disciple. But now in Matthew 28, he's been crucified. He's about to ascend to the Father. He's given instructions about what he wants his disciples to do in the earth now. And so everybody say this is after resurrection. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, go ahead and put this word for disciple up. It ends in E-U-O. A little different, same root word, same meaning, still a pupil, still a learner. But look at the rest of this now. Let me read it to you. Means not only to hear, but to become attached to the one's teacher and to become his follower in doctrine and conduct of life. Don't get overwhelmed by that. Not only just are you a disciple like it was when he was walking the earth, he wants you to learn, but become attached to the one's teacher and become his follower in doctrine and conduct of life. Now, many people who are self-centered want to warp this and say, follow me, the pastor. You know not to do that. Now, I want you to follow my example as long as it's godly. But if I ever get ungodly, no. Come on. I'm not God. I'm just his anointed. You're not God. You're just his anointed. We're all his children. Amen. There is a ranking and a pattern, a flow chart there, if you want to call it that, okay? Whatever. But understand, he's at the top. There's not a pastor, evangelist, pastor, apostle, bishop, nobody out trumps God. And any pastor or bishop or leader or preacher or whatever points more to themselves and they point you to God, you better watch out for that person. Can I have a better amen? But a lot of times they will take this and say, see, I'm teaching you, so you need to attach to me and be faithful to me. Now, we need to be faithful to each other in friendship, of course. Absolutely. And we need to be dedicated to one another. And again, not live based off our feelings the first time they get hurt, we just up and run. Amen? So the question here, who's the teacher? If I'm going to be a disciple, then I'm going to learn. And most of us is going to learn through hearing, through the preached word, or worship, or teachings, or one of the fivefold apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. That's one of our methods, mostly that. And yes, we teach and we preach, but we're not the teacher. Now, I want you to be biblical. I don't want you to be religious this morning. Now, so the question again, who's the teacher? Well, if you go again to the words of Jesus, written in red, to John chapter 14, verse 26. Again, he's about to exit the earth. But he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. He says, but the helper, everybody say the helper. Now, he tells you immediately after he calls him the helper who the helper is. Who is the helper, church? Look at that. The helper, comma, the Holy Spirit. Woo! Whom the Father will send in my name, in the name of Jesus, he, the Holy Spirit, will teach. There it is. Exactly, there it is. Somebody say, whoop. There it is. Come on, let's do that one more time. One, two, three. Whoop. There it is. Y'all did that so good. It's a little scary, actually. But anyway, the helper, the Holy Spirit, who's coming in, the Father sending in the name of Jesus, he, the Holy Spirit, will teach you some things. He's going to teach you all things. Now watch this. And bring to your remembrance all things that I, Jesus, have said to you. Whew. So who's the teacher this morning, church? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God is our teacher according to Jesus himself. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's a good thing. So now again, I'm going to go back to my list. So the Holy Ghost knows how to teach us about sin, addictions, alcohol, drugs, gossip, drama, living, lying, lust, pornography, deception, depression, worry, doubt, fear, shame, guilt, rebellion, disobedience, fornication, adultery, marriage, anger, resentment, jealousy, unforgiveness, laziness, ignorance, lack of respect and honor, your personal agenda, according to what you think and want, getting offended so easily and having your precious little feelings hurt that control you, and your entitlement attitude. What do you think the Holy Ghost is teaching about that? How to operate in it or how to get rid of it? Well, of course he is. So why aren't we learning? So what's the problem? And let me give you a hint. The problem ain't on God's side of the equation. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. The teacher, the Holy Spirit. Now, he's also called in other translations, he called him the helper. Other translations say comforter, our advocate before the Father. He's got a lot of names, but he's the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And can I tell you this morning, this is what separates someone from being religious with him and being kingdom and discipled with him. This is the difference. I'm telling you, I'm going to give you some great revelation today. There is a difference between someone who's been saved and someone who's been saved and discipled. It's the difference between being religious versus being kingdom. Kingdom people will seek discipleship. Religion people will seek a service that they don't have to do nothing in. Now, I'm going to be a lot more on this next week than I am this week, but I do want to give you a little teaser. Go ahead and put up the next note. The greatest deliverance and healing minister ever is your salvation, followed by discipleship. That is the greatest deliverance and healing ministry ever known to mankind. Well, no, it ain't, man. I love the testimony about when the drug addict man gets prayed for and gets delivered off of drugs. That's wonderful. Why didn't it happen at his salvation? Why? Because somebody told him to just get saved, sat down, and shut up. They didn't teach him. Are y'all okay? You sure? Because it's not, next week's going to be a hoot. Don't miss next week. The greatest deliverance. And you are taking, do you understand? I love to hear the stories too. Don't get me wrong. Please don't take me wrong. I love to hear the stories about getting delivered off all the list we talked about, whether it be fornication, drugs, pornography, addiction, jealousy, envy, lust, pride, whatever it may be. I love to hear those stories. But why did you have to get deliverance if you're a child of God? Because when you got born again, God did not withhold anything from you. Amen. Now again, I know we learn in phases and we grow and that's part, but did you learn? Right. Did you learn? And next week I'm going to expose why we go chasing after conferences, and I love going to conferences. I just went to refresh myself, but I don't go up there to get something out that God's already given me. Amen. But we've become people chasers and anointing chasers out of humans versus chasing the anointing of God. Yeah. And I'll tell you why next week. But listen to me now. I'm going to read this like I got it. It's not going to be any notes. True discipleship will get you into a position with God that you don't need to be healed or delivered that often. Why? Because you are living out of an authentic kingdom of God discipled lifestyle. If you're a Christian and you're constantly struggling, your answer is get some discipleship. Get in your word, get in your prayer, get in your worship, and brush through from heaven where God wants to give it to you. Quit depending on everybody else. Should we have everybody else involved? Yes. But nothing beats your one-on-one personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And discipleship is an individual thing with others, but the most important is your personal time with Jesus. I'm telling you, it'll change your whole lifestyle. Amen? Now watch James chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, many times we leave the first part out. We just say, bless God, you got to learn to resist the devil. And the Bible says when you resist the devil, he has to flee from you. So get delivered from those cigarettes. Get delivered from that alcohol. Get delivered from that pornography. Get delivered from that sickness and disease. Trust God. That's true. But the first part of it says you got to submit to God. Can I give you the definition when I was praying over this that the Holy Spirit gave me? Submitting to God is becoming a disciple. Come on. Submitting to God means I do what he says do. I become a disciple. I am taught. It becomes my conduct. It becomes the way I live. It becomes the way I respond to everything in life. It's through discipleship of the Word of God. And not my emotions and not my feelings. Well, I think it ought to be like this. Well, I think it ought to be like this. You know, again, let me tell you this right here. I've said it a few times. Everybody else knows how to live your life better than you do. And the two or three major areas that they absolutely would do a better job in your life than you're doing is, number one, they'll tell you they can spend your money better than you're spending it. Well, I can't believe they buy that. Well, I can't believe they do that. They ought to do this with it. If they do this with it, then they wouldn't. We all spend everybody else's money better than they do. And if you got kids, we can sure as heck raise your kids better than you are. I'll tell you what, if that was mine, and yours is over here 10 times worse. Well, it's okay, y'all okay? But submit to God means you are and you are becoming his disciple. You're his pupil, you're his learner. That means this word that you're learning, you're connected to Jesus. Amen? You're connected by the Holy Spirit to help you understand the Word of God and become a disciple. And when you don't have that in your life, bless your heart, no wonder you're a child of God that constantly struggles with your emotions. Because you're not a disciple. You are, you're just not producing. Are y'all okay? Big boy britches time, but go ahead and put the next note up. It's not your salvation that's a problem. It's your discipleship that could be your biggest problem. Well, I mean, I love God, but I don't understand why all this is. I love God, but I love God. Why is this happening? Be a disciple. You will understand. And if you don't understand, and I don't understand all things, but you know what happens when I don't understand all things? I still have all faith in an all-powerful God. And I don't allow my emotions to take me into depression or oppression or feeling, oh, well, nobody cares. Nobody said thank you. Nobody's giving me any glory. Nobody did anything for me. Grow up. The Bible talks about being mature saints and sons and daughters of God. But you will never mature without being a disciple. And it's a process. Can I have a better amen on it's a process? So put up the next note real quick. What is God trying to get to his disciples? And the answer is faith and obedience in God and his word. That's what he wants you to get to, where you absolutely believe him and his word over your circumstances, over your feelings, over your traditions, over everything in your life. He says, trust me and obey me. Everybody say obedience. Do you have it? Now, I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures this morning that's not written in red, but it's still the word of God. Say amen. Amen. But this is what Jesus is getting to his disciples and wants to get to his disciples. Now listen to this list of scriptures, and I could stop on each one. I will probably stop just a little bit, but I'm not going to keep you here all day. Say amen. Amen. I could on this message, easy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of what? Power. Love and what? Self-discipline. Self-discipline also means discipleship. Matter of fact, we get the word discipline from the word disciple. Disciple, discipline. A disciple is a person who's disciplined in the things of God. Now watch this. He says of self-discipline. In other words, God's done everything he's done. He don't have to do anything else. He has left you an incorruptible, infallible word of God that is pure, 100% absolute truth. The rest is up to you. You can have as much relationship and power from God as you want. You can be as close to God as you want. He will never turn you away. He never has. Correct? So if you feel far from God, who moved? But now I want to read that to you also out of the Amplified. Same thing. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. The Amplified version says this. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of timidity of cowardness, of craven and cringing and fawning fear. But he, God, has given us a spirit of power and of love. Now watch this. And of, everybody say calm. Calm. Calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Can I tell you some of the quickest people that will cuss you out in life are Christians? Man, they will cuss you out in a heartbeat. You just say, you get their parking spot that you wanted, man, you getting it. They'll tell you, it's the default answer to the church now is to blast you. Anger, resentment, hatred, jealousy. Oh, but I'm saved. And that's all I got to say about that. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Then he, talking about Jesus, calls his 12 disciples together. And he gave them what? Power and authority over how many demons? All demons. And to what? Cure diseases. Then verse 2 says, and he sent them to preach the Baptist doctrine. And he sent them to preach the Church of God doctrine. And he sent them to preach the Nazarene doctrine, the Catholic faith, the Presbyterian faith, the United Methodist faith, the First Church of the Down Yonder faith, the Assembly of God faith. No, he says, I'm sending these people out here to preach nothing. Enough religion's been preached. I'm sending my disciples. I'm telling them to preach what? The what? The kingdom of God. Oh, and by the way, when you do the kingdom of God, you're going to heal the sick. Now, heal the sick means physical, mental, emotional, marital, whatever sickness is on them. Why ain't that happening? Because it don't happen to religion. It happens to kingdom disciples. Now, all these scriptures are pointed to a group of people who are saved and are disciples. Not just the saved, but the saved and discipled in the kingdom of God. Now we're going to get everybody to say words of Jesus. Now this is where I need your help. When I point to you, when we come to this certain word, I want to point to you. I want you to say it loud, proud, and bold. But I want you to, when I point to you, I want you to do this. Go, huh? I'm watching. This is your finger. Point your finger up. Come on, point your finger up. Sir, get that out of your nose. Put it up. Just kidding. That got your attention, though. Now do like this. When I point to you, I want you to go, you. Not you or you. It goes like this. You. I want you to point to you. When I point to you, you point to you. And say the word you. All right, let's try it one more time.
You.
Pretty good. Need a little more boldness. Words of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, words of Jesus. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over some, all the power of the enemy. Oh, and by the way, and nothing by any means shall hurt
you.
Wow. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly things, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will. Whew. This is just Jesus speaking, by the way. John chapter 14, verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I, Jesus, do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Now, who do we point to? You pointed to yourself. You just agreed with the word that you should be doing greater works than Jesus. I ain't participating no more. Don't let me down. Here's we're going to stay with me. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. The words of Jesus in the Bible says, and I will give
you.
I will give
you
the keys of the what? The kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus says that about you. It doesn't say what Jesus binds. It says what you bind. Doesn't say what Jesus is loosening on the earth. It says what you do. Why? Because you are his represented in authority and power. You're his disciple. It's you. Hallelujah. You got time for another one? Well, good, because I got some for you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But
you.
Who?
You.
Shall receive what?
Power.
When? When the Holy Spirit has come upon who?
You.
Now, some of y'all dropping off on me. I see from up here. Some of y'all like, I ain't participating in this no more. You ain't going to pin me in the word. Listen, I'm not pinning you into nothing. This is the word of God, whether you want to agree with it or not. Yeah. I'm just pointing it out to you. You're not attached to me. You're attached to the teacher, who is the Holy Ghost. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And
you.
And
you.
And
you.
Shall be witnesses to Jesus, me, Jesus, in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You're all in the Bible. Everywhere you turn, there you are. Doing the things of God. And I don't know if I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit or not. Let me give you a fresh, easy, just simple to the point revelation about this. Every single one of Jesus' disciples experienced this. Every one of them. All 120 people in that upper room experienced this exact thing. Well, that was for back then. It's not for now. You better read your Bible. You better get away from whoever it was told you that lie. You better read your Bible. Because it's still available for any and all believers today. This you is you. It didn't say they, it says you. Amen? Man, that's a lot of power, ain't it? That's a lot of signs, wonders, and miracles, and powers, and anointing, and blessing, and authority, and woo! Touch it out. That's good stuff right there. Wow! So why ain't I seeing this in my life? Because the promises are for kingdom disciples. And as long as you're bound up in religions and traditions of man, you will never reach this point of your life as a child of God. And here's the sad part. Some of you are very content with that. You're content with just you and your family going to heaven and to hell with everybody else. That's just hard truth in the church life today. As long as us four and no more get to go, to hell with everybody else. I don't want to be bothered with having to minister and do all this stuff. And man, I'm about to study and apply myself to the word of God. I mean, let the pastor do it. That's what we pay him for. You ain't got enough money to pay the pastors to do all that. Amen. Whosoever will may come, therefore whosoever will should be a disciple. Matter of fact, I would even say this, and if you don't want to be a disciple, don't get saved. Come on. Don't bother Jesus. Don't want the benefits without the benefactor. That's what most people want. We want the benefits without the benefactor. I love y'all. That's why I'm telling you the truth. Last verse. Come on up. I'm doing this pretty quick today. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Very familiar scripture here. Now to him, that's talking about Jesus there, not you. To him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all that we can ask or even think. And we usually stop the verse right there. Oh, he's the one that can do exceedingly abundantly above anything you can think or ask. And then we start thinking and asking. Well, if that's the case, I want the lake house. I want the G-Wagon in my driveway. Come on now. I want a Swiss bank account that can't be taxed by my government to death. I'd like to have a vault of gold, some silver, good health. I want the best of everything. And and I wouldn't mind seeing a few people get saved and a small revival break out, but nothing that would take me away from my fortune and fame. But, you know, a small one. I still have the heart for God a little. And then we get this list and we get this instruction from God that he's able to do exceeding. He's able. Didn't say he would do. He's able to, but doesn't mean he's going to. The going to is dependent upon you. He's able for everybody, but everybody ain't getting in on it. They welcome, but you got to come through his door and not your door. Now let me finish the scripture. Now unto him who is able, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, they're able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all you think or ask. Is that true? Yes, it's true. Read the last part with me. 1, 2, 3. According to the power that works in us. Amen. So all this exceedingly abundantly beyond stuff is according to your discipleship level. To the power of God you've received, you've matured, you've made your conduct, you've made your rule of standard for how you're going to live your life, how your marriage is going to represent, how your kids are going to represent. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Or as for me and my house, we'll shack up, pack up, drink up, drug up right in front of our kids. And then wonder why they don't want nothing to do. Well, according to the, did you ever know that was in there? According to the power that works in you and I? That's your avenue to the Father who's willing and able. But he's not going to turn that stuff loose if you're not a mature disciple to you. That would kill you and ruin you. Because you would be about yourself and not his kingdom. Because he also says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then I'll add all these things to you. And let me tell you something, I've never seen a religious person seek the kingdom. I've seen them seek religion and prestige and titles and all that junk. But I've never seen a truly just pure religious person ever seek first the kingdom of God. And the works they do, they want it to point to them. But you take a kingdom disciple and they're seeking whatever God can use them. If it's on a platform, fine. If it's in the street, fine. If it's in a hospital, fine. If it's in a home, fine. If it's on work, fine. They don't leave Jesus at home because he's their rule of conduct. In your marriage, how you treat your spouse, how you treat your kids, how you obey your parents. Parents. Now, let me also address in closing. Don't put it up yet. There's another verse to this. So this stuff is supposed to be happening. They're supposed to be exceedingly abundant and beyond anything we can think or ask, working in the power of the disciples' lives. But there is also a point in reference to where he wants it to flow out from. Now, for all those watching, and maybe even in attendance or wherever you get this right here, you know, you unchurched church people that don't like the church, and there's always something wrong with the church, and the reason you're not in church is because church people, because they're hypocrites. You're one of the biggest ones around. Amen. Well, the church is something old and relevant. It's not for today. Well, you need to read your Bible. And I'm not even going to go to Hebrews 10:25. But go look that one up. And there's some of the ones that will proclaim they know more about the Bible than you do, but yet they deny the Bible about being in church. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all things that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, Verse 21 goes on and says, to him God be the glory in the in your home. In your little private closet at home. It should be there too. But it ain't called out. The church is called out. You'll find scriptures where Jesus says, I give my life for the church. I'm coming back for my church. That's why there's just one church. Denominations can do what they want, but there's just one church he's coming back for. Now, I'm not against all denominations and nothing like that, but when you put more faith in your denomination and you do the word of God, then you got a trouble. He's coming back for one body, and it's the disciples of the kingdom of God. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Now watch this. To all generations. In other words, we are to teach our kids to be a disciple in his church. Into and through the church. Into your home, into your family, into your business, into your sports, into your hobbies, into your lifestyle, into everywhere you go. And it should be in the church. In the church by Jesus Christ to all generations. Watch this now. Forever and ever. Say it with me. Stand to your feet this morning. Now, I've read you a lot of Word of God today. There's a bunch of scriptures we went through today. A lot of them Jesus Christ declared about you. Let me say it again. Those scriptures are for whosoever may come. But you're not going to come through escapism. You're not going to take a shortcut. Salvation is free. You don't pay a thing to get saved. But don't let me dissuade you or anything. Salvation is 100% free. But let me make sure you understand something. Discipleship costs you your life. Because you got to lay down your agenda. You got to get under some authority. You got to submit to things that you may not want to submit to. And you got to do it with God's heart and learn to grow through it without pitching a fit, you big baby. Now, let me say this. Submission doesn't even begin until it's something you don't want to do. Doing what I want to do is not submission. It's called enjoying. It's called fun. But when God tells you to do something you don't want to do, now we're going to see. Or if God puts you under a boss at work and they tell you, you're hired to do this, but I want you to go over here and clean the toilets. That ain't my job description. Well, if my boss tells me to clean the toilet, I'm going to have the cleanest toilet he's ever seen. Because I've been done that way. It wasn't in my job description, but you know what? When I got told to clean the toilet one day, man, that thing was slick. You hit that seat, if you wasn't careful, you slide right off of it. And I just want to tell you this for the record. My wife's not in here, is she? Good. I was told to clean the, I had to clean the ladies' bathroom. Ladies, y'all nasty. Y'all need to do better. And I almost say, I've cleaned both men's and women's bathrooms. Women's is always nastier than the men's. What's wrong with y'all? Somebody said it, they wasn't raised right. Let's invite the Holy Ghost back. Just bow your heads with me. God, I love having fun in your house. And being a disciple is the most joyful thing I've ever been. And I'm still becoming, God. But I want to ask you this morning, are you saved? Have you committed your life to Christ, received his salvation? Have you got the free gift of God? Have you followed through with your next step of believer's baptism? A lot of us have done that, but let me ask you this. Are you his disciple from the kingdom? And if you're not, let me ask you the question, why? And let me give you the number one answer I hear. Nobody told me. I didn't know this. I didn't know this. And I'm not here to bring condemnation on any of you. Listen, I didn't know it for years either. And then I started studying the scriptures, and there it is. And I'm like, well, I don't know how to become a disciple. What does that mean? What does it look like? And then you understand the definition. You're a student. You abide with him. You follow him. And his word and his character and his fruits and gifts of the Spirit become your conduct. And I love the reason that he told them that in the first disciple was, I'm here with you. So that's why he didn't say you have to be attached to me, because he was here with them. But when he knew he was going to go, he gave a different definition to the disciple. You're going to be one who, you got to attach yourself to the teacher to become a true disciple of the kingdom of God. And the teacher's the Holy Spirit. And I've read you right out of the book, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses. This is why church people don't witness to anybody. This is why church religious people, their lives never make a difference where they're at. This is why they struggle with the list I told you before. We struggle with our thoughts and our patterns and our guilts and our shames and our lusts and our envies and our pride and our jealousy. We struggle just like the rest of the world that don't even know Jesus. And your answer today to all of that, your financial problems, your everything you can have a problem with on planet Earth, your answer is discipleship. Get in that Bible. The answer's there. Get into prayer. You'll hear his voice if you stay long enough. And there ain't no time limit. You can hear him in 2 seconds if you're tuned in. Worship till you have a breakthrough. Study till you understand those 3 or 4 words. Get help. Ask somebody. I hope today your answer is, I am a disciple. Because once you get saved, you get the title disciple. But I hope your answer is today, yeah, I know I am one. But I'm going to make my mind up today. I'm going to be a better one. And I'm going to start being faithful to live in a lifestyle of the kingdom of God. I'm going to get in his word. I'm going to get in his prayer. I'm going to get in this thing called worship. I'm going to start. I got to have a starting place to being a disciple. I'm going to be in his church. I'm going to be faithful in his church, in my marriage, in my family. I'm going to hand down a generational blessing no matter what was handed to me by my parents or grandparents or whoever. But to start with, you got to be his child. You've got to get the free gift to start being a disciple. So if you're here this morning with no strings attached, you will not join church today. We definitely don't offer you any religion. We're offering you to surrender your life, not to man, but to Jesus Christ, the man who died for your sins. You cannot save yourself. You can't pay for your own sins ever. But Jesus has already done it at Calvary's cross. He shed his blood to cover your sins. And by you saying today, I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want my sins forgiven, and I want to start my life of being his disciple today. Now, you're not going to be perfect. None of us has ever done it perfect. But a disciple is a continual learner who is attached to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And we just keep trying, and we keep trying, and we keep digging. And I have 3 words. We don't give up, we don't give out, and we don't give in. We keep pressing on. So if that's you today and you say, today's the day of my salvation, I'm ready to surrender my life to Christ. If that's you in here today, heaven awaits you. Just lift your hand and say, today's my day. I want to get saved today. Right there. Come on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. No shame. No shame. Man of God. Woo. And I tell you, God's stirring some things up. Would there be anyone else, real quickly, by the lifting of your hand, that this is your day? Maybe watching online, let us know. Whew. Thank you, Father. We're fixing to pray this prayer. Can I tell you, I'm the most encouraged while the world is falling apart. I am the most encouraged in the kingdom of God than I've ever been in my life. Now, ladies, I'm not shrinking back because we've had a couple of women get saved. But I'm going to tell you something. For the last few weeks, we've had men raise their hand to be born again. Men. Ready to be men. Real men of God in this world again. Not shrinking back with some mamby-pamby. Man, Jesus was the most manly man on earth. All salvations are waiting, wonderful. So we're going to pray this prayer with our new brother in Christ. Everybody pray together because we're family here. Dear Jesus, it's me. You've been waiting for this day a long time. And here I am. I ask you right now to forgive me of my sins because I can't do it. But I know you did. Today I confess with my mouth that you are the Lord. You're the Son of the living God. You came and you died just for me. And you rose from the dead and you're alive just for me today. And I surrender my whole life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Make me the new creature you promised you would. I thank you right now by the confession of my faith in Jesus. My sins are forgiven. My past is wiped away. Today, I am a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ forever and ever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And the church says, amen. Woo! Come on, church. One more time. Give it up for Jesus.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.